Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Sometimes reality is just too normal for some people. What do you do when you find out that the person that you think you're working with is not even that person at all? Yeah, how do you handle that one? That's today on Office Horror Stories.
Welcome to the world of crazy workplaces, Office Horror Stories.
Have a crazy workplace story to share? Call in toll free.
1-833-HATE-JOB.
1-833-HATE-JOB.
Or write in at officehorrorstories.com. This is Office Horror Stories.
That indeed it is. And yes, we would love to hear your office horror story. Can be past, present. I don't know that future would really work, but you can share it with us. Just go to officehorrorstories.com or call in 833-HATE-JOB. And we may use it on a future episode of the program. If you like the show, be sure to subscribe on whatever platform it is you listen to us on. Just press that subscribe button. We're now on Instagram as well at Office Horror Stories. So be sure to follow us over there. Tony and Sean joining you on this fine day. And how is what's going on in your world?
I'm just gramming.
You're gramming?
What they say, on the gram.
Is that the term? Is it gramming or Insta? Like, I'm on Insta, but I've never heard of gramming. Is that, am I missing something? Am I not TikToking it up enough?
Get on the cool kids bus, Tony.
Yeah.
Blowing you by.
Sorry. Just
Instagram.
Yeah.
And then way too many syllables.
Yeah.
So that became, I believe, Insta?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm kind of acting as though I know what I'm talking about. Then I believe it. I don't think it was ever IG, because the muscles in your mouth, that's almost as many muscles as Instagram.
Yeah. You don't want to have to exercise that many muscles.
And then in the world we live in now where I can't respond to you with a text, I'm just going to like the text you sent, or I'm going to ha 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 it, or I'm going to love it. I'm literally going to just bloop. Gram. Mm-hmm. Gramming. Graham, I'm Graham. I'm on the gram.
Yeah, on the gram. I think eventually the younger generation now that speaks in just basically small syllables to recognize each other. It'd be interesting to see what their kids do. It's just going to be like grunts and I don't know. I don't know. Like, how much more can we minimize things? Or they're going to, or it'll just completely flip the other direction, which I could see that happening. And they're going to be speaking in very old English because they're like, what the fuck were mom and dad? They say these weird abbreviations to each other. I can't stand this. I'm going back to old English, just classic old English, like Moby Dick style, like literature style English. So
what's funny is everything is retro. Mm-hmm. What was old becomes new again. People are going to start rolling their jeans up, banana clips, scrunchies. Yeah. So in the real view of that, it's eventually society will, I don't think we'll ever go back to living in caves because mm-hmm. I think we've just come too far in houses and such, but the cavemen, cave woman mm-hmm. type speak hieroglyphics of sorts.
Yeah, well, that's emojis.
Back 2074, greatest way to communicate. Hey, Mackenzie, how's your day?
Smile. Smiley face, poop.
Man.
Yeah. We really have kind of gone back to hieroglyphics, haven't we? With emojis. Yeah. Holy shit, never thought of it that way.
Say what? As much of a artist, I am not in the sense of drawing a design. I think artistry is very subjective. Not a big, how shall I put it? If you want something done well or bubble letters, I'm pretty solid at, but anything else?
Yeah.
So the fact that we're all leaning back to laziness and nobody really knows how to write in cursive, my value, my stock, growing.
You're going to be the rare one. That's the man that knows how to write in the fancy Ooh, letters.
Good stick, stepdad. Well done. Nice family photo.
833-HATE-JOB is our phone number here at Office Horror Stories to share your office horror stories with us. We'll jump into our first... Here's the letter here of the day. It starts out, this happened years ago, but still freaks me out to this day. I worked with a girl. She wore so much makeup that I would swear it was literally cracking off of her face. The mascara was always too clumpy and thick. Her lipstick was always just that slightly wrong shade. The perfume she wore was overpowering, and she was regularly told to ease up on it. She dressed like she was left over from the late 40s or 50s. She had her hair perfectly crimped and stood amazingly straight and was unflatteringly stiff. T was always a bit of an airhead, and there were times where she just seemed like a completely different person. I'd review with T things that she would have remembered as we just discussed it the day before. When she would talk to customers, it was like she knew nothing about the clothes, even though we had trained all day, our whole staff, on the focus of diets and the important items that we really wanted them to concentrate on. She'd be taken in for coaching and things would improve for a bit, but we finally let her go. A few years later, I ran into T on the street, or at least I thought it was her. She was dressed the same way, in the same cakey makeup, the same clothes. Her hair was looking like she had just stepped out of a hair salon where she had spent hours under a dryer drum with rollers, and her perfume created a scent barrier where I could only barely breathe. As I said, chasing with her, it came out, but it was not actually T, but instead a sister, in fact, a triplet. T had two identical sisters. I got chatting with this triplet, and it came to light that they would take turns at work. If one of them was not feeling good or hungover or whatever, one of the others would fill in. They did it with two other jobs, too. She said it stopped them from getting bored as well. I had absolutely no idea what to say about this. I didn't even know if they could be charged with fraud or something, but I didn't work there anymore, so I didn't say anything. Turns out that T wasn't as dim as we all thought she was. I believe she might actually be brilliant, or at least this one of the sisters was. It's just that nobody knew what the job instructions were because it was a different sister multiple days of the week. Well, that's a new one. Can you conceive of that happening, of a triplet situation where they literally rotate who's going into work?
That's, I guess, to answer your question, I don't technically know because there may be a colleague that I didn't know was a twin or a triplet. And I was talking to Derek, who is actually Bill. But that's genius.
It's a way to do it. I guess work the system for yourself.
I can't imagine what that would be like, being on the other end of that, being the coworkers. And then every single day you get somebody trained at something. And then the next time, you know, you're there, like, you should know this. I mean, I guess it happens with normal people quite frequently. I've been in that situation a time or two. But to have this realization that, oh my God, they are not at all who they said they were. That's just completely insane.
What we're having to come the realization of is people really aren't who they say they are. The same actual person. So this is just a little bit more glaring of a, you are actually a physically different human. It's not just the same person all the time, where I thought you were this, but you're this. So it's very much different, but sadly in the, what we think we know of people, we don't know them at all. We very commonplace. It's not that outlandish, but I guess what I would like to know is, who do they split the salary? Everybody gets 33 1/3, or once tax time comes around,
boss.
Oh my God, there's three of you. Yeah. So here's the deal. Maya W-2, you should only take out 1/3, because there's three of us.
That would be just crazy to be in that office if that conversation were to happen.
Why are you arresting us?
Have you ever had the situation? The other point of that was the caked on makeup and the extreme smell, the over perfumed smell. Have you ever had a coworker that had emanated a scent that, you know, it's one thing if there's a medical condition, but it's a whole other if it's, I'm choosing to press the perfume button, you know, 52 times before I leave my bathroom in the morning.
Yeah, there was a sales rep that we'll just call her Judy, because her real name is Judy. she was, it was as though she went through the perfume section in the mall, and you put on 19 different samplers, and you go in your cubicle, which is near 17 other cubicles. But that doesn't take the cake. And for the most part, it wasn't necessarily a potent smell. It was just too much.
Yeah.
Good, but it was holy hell. Miss Bowman, first grade, her perfume smelled like chalk. And here's the deal. I am a few years away from being in first grade. So if that memory sticks to you, let's see here, Carrie, the one, three decades-ish.
Yeah.
And you still remember the chalk perfume from Miss Bowman? Not good. Not a good look.
What an appropriate smell for a first grade teacher, though. Chalk. You know,
literally, that's the best way to describe it. And it wasn't, did you sit next to the chalkboard? Did you get to clean the erasers every afternoon because you were in detention? No, it was straight up. It was not good. It was not good.
Like your next to second grade teacher's perfume was Expo marker or something. You know, it's just like, well, we just really get into our job. So we go for these very distinct smells.
Some of those markers back in the day that they smelled like different fruits, like there was watermelon and cherry and orange and black licorice. It's funny because from third through seventh grade, every teacher different scent.
That's interesting. I don't remember any of the scents of my teachers. I did have a coworker once that I did not know what patchouli smelled like until I met this person, and somebody goes, "Oh, she reeks of patchouli." I'm like, "Oh, is that what that is?" I didn't have any idea what it was or what she was masking. I guess I'm just like, I live in a hole or something. I never like was really around a lot of pot and stuff, I guess, in my teen years, where people would try and mask it with that. Holy hell, this person smelled like they were living in a head shop, I think, because it was such a horrible smell. And it wasn't just like when you're near the person, this was one of those, it's going to permeate the room now. And it's not going to leave the room for another 3 or 4 hours, which incidentally is about the time you're in there for your next air shift at the radio station. And it was just fucking horrible. And it got to the, and she was a nice lady, but it was such a horrible, it was hard to be around her because it was so strong.
As we're recording this, and I'm just going to, I didn't know if I wanted to say it or not, but now, patchouli, is that the scent where it's not straight up pot, but it's the smell that basically everybody uses to cover up?
Yeah.
No,
that I guess is the cover up smell, but it's like such an obvious cover up smell. Yes. It would be like if you were drinking Jack Daniels and you decided I'm going to cover that up with Captain Morgan. Like, so you don't smell the Jack, but it's Captain. It's like, that's not any better. We know that you've been drinking Jack Daniels or something because it's just, I don't know why anybody thinks this is a good smell. It's just so pungent and horrible. No one would use it in their right mind to cover up anything if it wasn't an illegal substance. I don't know why, but it is what it is.
It's a smell. And again, you just almost become so synonymous with it as you have just smoked pot.
Yeah.
You don't feel like pot, but 95% of the people who are high, you smell like. So why didn't you go with, I don't know, Febreze or maybe a plug-in? You empty the little refillable on you with a nice fresh linen smell. That really would have mixed it up.
Maybe not what you chose. Not strong enough? I don't know. I don't know. I mean, it's like, I don't want anybody to know. And that smell, it certainly covers it up. I mean, you could have fucking murdered somebody and disintegrated their body in acid as well. And you could have just all their blood all over your... You could have like rotting flesh stuck in your clothes from the body that you just chopped up in your bathtub. And you wouldn't smell it with the patchouli because that shit is fucking strong. Anyway,
is it a stronger disdain of a smell, patchouli or curry?
I would say curry any day over patchouli.
Oh,
curry,
no.
Curry, you could at least, you're like, I was at the Indian restaurant. Oh, you really like Indian food or Thai. What I mean, okay, that works. I like that. I can deal. Jen had a, her first apartment. There was some folks that lived up above her who had come in from India and they loved making curry. Very nice couple, but holy shit, they made curry like almost every day, it seemed. And they always, so it would loft through the ventilation system. Oh, so her apartment always smelled like curry. And it was only like in the last two or three years that I've convinced her that she should try curry again. And she really likes it. But it was such a permeating scent, too, that it was like, oh, my God. They'd always offer it to her, too. But she'd always be like, I'm good because, you smell it all the time. But
on her birthday, on your anniversary, you need to remind her that if there's any days that she is anything less than 100% realizing how much you love her, miss, I continue to date you when you lived in a curry factory. Disgusting. If I were to buy a house and a home that you saw online, mm-hmm. the pictures look great and the mortgage is great and everything, and I go in and I would bulldoze the house. I would build a new smaller home because clearly I'd have a hell of a lot less budget on the actual house than to live in a curry smelling facility.
So you're really anti-curry. What?
And nothing again. This is nothing. I mean,
you just don't like the flavor. I know. Okay.
Flavor, sure. I like the smell.
But okay.
What he's got with scent and hearing and everybody's senses, maybe one of the five is a little bit more sensitive.
Yeah.
For me, it's a blessing and a curse that I have a dog's sense of smell. So I very much love a smell, pine sol, which as a young boy, my mother told me, Sean, don't sniff the pine sol. Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't listen and here I be. Anywho, very much like that smell. Curry, that would be the opposite side of the pendulum.
I love curry.
Man, I think I have to go, I'm going to get sick.
I could totally do a curry glade plug-in. When we're talking here about you have a coworker that smells and it's something needs to be done because it's becoming intrusive onto your work performance. Have you ever told a boss about it or ever handled it in any sort of way to try and remedy the situation?
No. And situations like that where there is any type of negative. Mm-hmm. And I say negative in the sense of the person cannot control it. Mm-hmm. I almost put, I don't want to say I become overly sensitive, but I just, short of being in physical pain, like if somebody is literally rolling their chair over my toes, I would say, no, stop it. I just, you breathe through your mouth. You just deal with it because here's the thing. And specifically on scent, I think that's a situation. And all of us know the kids we went to school with, which I know I said I wouldn't say Ms. Bowman's name or Judy's name, but I said both of theirs. I really legit won't say the family of siblings who stunk in grade school.
Sure.
There's something deeper going on.
Yeah.
And, I mean, if they're a colleague, that's going to affect their pay. Mm-hmm. So it's an annoyance, obviously, but I would chalk a gum smacker or somebody chews with their mouth open 3,000% more. I'm going to say something than somebody that's got some stankiness. You control that. Shut your mouth, Karen. Yeah.
But she could also control putting all that perfume on, too. And the patchouli could also have been controlled. And so I did speak up on Patchouli Woman. And here's how...
You haven't taken a shower in a week.
Yeah, well, that's different. Here's how this was handled. And the manager who handled it, really, for the most part, one of my better bosses over the course of my career. But... this one situation still stands out to me. It's like, really? Is this the best way to handle this situation? So I went to my boss in confidence and said, look, we all know this is a thing, but you don't have to be in the studio for the next 4 hours in this airtight compartment. And I don't know that you realize the extent to which this affects us. And I'm not saying that she's a bad person. This is not a personal attack on her. I think she's nice. She's lovely. I have no problem with her as a person or a coworker, but this is not a body odor thing. Unless she's using it to mask the body odor, but I think there'd be a different scent you could pick. And I know it's pot. We all knew it was pot. Could we do something? Could we ask maybe, or could you address this in some way to see if she could pull back on this level a little bit? Because it is hard to talk and stay focused and do a program for 4 hours when I can barely breathe in the room that I'm sitting in. Oh, yeah. I'm glad you said something. It's been a long, this has been a long time coming. You're not the first one to bring this up. I'll handle it. Here's how it's handled. 5 minutes later, I go into the studio to get ready for my show. Patchouli Woman's still in the studio, wrapping up hers. And it's the crossover moment where you're like, okay, hey, see you later. Bye-bye. Okay. My boss walks into the studio with the two of us there and doesn't even like really go and sit down to like have a conversation or anything, but just kind of stands there with the door open and kind of not shouting, but talking loud enough so we can all hear her from the doorway. Yeah. Tony came to me just a few minutes ago. Is there a way you can maybe do less of your perfume or whatever it is? Because he said it really bothers him and it's just something he doesn't like. Like not at all how it should have, like, you're the boss. This is your employee. I shouldn't have been in this conversation whatso-fucking-ever. This should have been, you guys sit down, have the conversation. Don't, like, put me on the spot. And then Patchouli Woman looks at me like, oh, my God. Is there something I did? No, you're fine. It's just the smell, the patchouli, is a little bit strong for me. And I have really sensed it, and I'm just bullshitting at this point. Like, I have a really strong sense of smell, and I don't. You could probably be, whatever it's called when you can't smell, you would have picked this shit up. And I'm just like, I'm just really sensitive to it. I think I might have an allergy to that. Is there anything different you could do? Oh, I will do that. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And it was just so fucking awkward.
And what did you do to the, let's see here.
The boss?
Anosmia, by the way, when you can't smell. What did you do to the boss?
Nothing. She was my boss. What the hell is I going to do or say? It's like I came to her in confidence to say it and bring it up. It wasn't like I can't like reprimand her. It was just uncomfortable. And so it's just like that's how it was handled. And then the next like every interaction with this woman for the rest of the time I was there was very awkward because every time she's like, is my smell OK today? Is it OK? And the answer, honestly, no, it was never OK. It never got better. It was probably about the same, if not worse. But I couldn't be like, yeah, it's fucking horrible. Can you please do something different or not get uber high before you come to work that you have to fucking smell like this? But I didn't. And I was like, no, you're great. You're fine. But it was just like, this is how not to handle when an employee brings up a concern about another. It's not always needing to be a meeting of the minds. It can just be, look, this needs to be addressed privately. And then it's not embarrassing, because it was embarrassing to both of us. And anyway, that's like my one, I think that's like, yeah, like really one of my only complaints about that one boss. So I don't want to come across like it was a horrible person. The many years I worked there, great boss, really. But that was the one moment I'm like, what the fuck? Who knows? Maybe there was something else going on during that person's day that they didn't have time to really address it. And they just was like, here, let's fix the problem right now. And I guess that was the thought on how to fix it. But yeah,
the wearing of needing to be fake in someone asking, is something bothering you?
Yeah.
And need to profession. No, I'm good. No. Just wears on you. Just wears on you.
Yeah, I hate that shit. 833-HATE-JOB. 833-HATE-JOB is our phone number. Or write in at officehorrorstories.com. Let's go to our next letter. It says, it was my first day working at the center. I was given the basic training. I was told I'd probably have no one answer a call. I was in a call center. Or want to take a poll and then send out the wolves. At first, I didn't get any calls. For 100-ish calls, I was sent straight to voicemail. During the last 20 minutes of my two-hour shift, I finally get a call through. For storytelling purposes, I'm going to call this guy CT. For short, conspiracy theorist. Me. Insert your introduction for our center, blah, blah, blah. Would you be willing to take a short survey? Well, I'll do the voice of the conspiracy theorist, and I'll base this on other conspiracy theorists that I've dealt with in my career. Well, that depends. Do you sell my information to the government? No, sir. All of our information, it stays here completely anonymous. Your answers will be added to a giant melting pot of responses we get and be put on our branch's website. So we got through this entire poll. Now, one thing I learned after this is that there is a pattern that most people follow, such as if this person answered A for this and B for that, then they'll most likely answer C for the next question. This guy did not follow this pattern at all. Even as my first run through the poll, I noticed that his answers went everywhere. He also had something to say about every question I had. Some examples of this were as following. Customer.
Okay, but what if we build a giant fence around the cities and use those fences to block pollution?
I'm sorry, sir, but that isn't an option I have here, nor do I think it's possible. Another one?
We just need smog vacuums.
Me?
I'm sorry. Smog vacuums. They'd be great. Send them to China. We'd make millions.
Another one?
Oh, wait. You're telling me that there's a difference between a moped and a motorcycle?
Yes, sir. A moped.
Nah. I'm no way believing they are different. Next question.
So finally, I get to the very, very end of the poll. I start to do the thank you. We do every poll. And then he stops me.
You want to know what I really think?
Sure.
So, the moon landing.
Me. Oh, no.
The moon landing was funded by the Illuminati, not NASA. And when Buzz Lightyear, whoever put that American flag down, it created a large dome around the entire planet. And that's why we have climate change. It's not the greenhouse gases. It's not the gas emissions. It's the Illuminati, missy.
Now, by this point, I had to mute my microphone to keep from knowing that I was about to lose myself in laughter. My supervisor looks over at me, confused as to why the new girl is suddenly laughing hysterically while very obviously on a call. But it doesn't stop there.
And you know what else?
What?
Oh, those robots we've been sending to outer space don't go to the other planets. Nah, they go back to the moon to replenish the batteries on the climate change machine.
Now, I honestly cannot tell you how I managed to end the call in a civil manner, but I did. And the entire time of the second half, my supervisor is listening into this to see what the actual hell is causing me to laugh so hard. I managed to explain through fits of laughter what he had said before, to which my supervisor responds, "Why is it that you have to have fun on the call on your first day? I would have killed to take that call when I was on your in your position." So there you go. Call center. Crazy Illuminati theorist talking to the individual. It makes me wonder a little bit, was that person truly believing that stuff, or were they saying crazy things to them like I like to do sometimes?
Could I talk to that person by chance? Can we pipe him into this phone call? I had a few very important questions.
The Illuminati.
Hey, Derek, what's up, man? Good to talk to you. Sean here.
Hi.
Now, you had some thoughts about something about the moon landing, and I wanted a few more questions you could answer if you have a few minutes.
I do.
All right. Most importantly, you go to a movie, you're going to see a comedy, a horror, or a dramedy.
I like to see myself in action romance dramedy.
All right. Very particular. I like it. You sit close, you sit in the back few rows.
I like to stand at the wall and stare.
You get your ticket. You're going to Theater 6. Do you stop at concessions? Do you window shop? Do you stop at Gordman's before and pant some hot tamales? You don't want to pay those movie theater prices? What do we got?
I wear a fanny pack stuffed with jerky that I made from neighborhood strays.
Cats?
I don't discriminate.
Okay, well, I tell you what, you get going on your moon landing conspiracies. We do appreciate it. We're going to update our survey and have a great afternoon, all right?
The thing is, people like that out there do exist. we went in a really dark place there. I make jerky from neighborhood strays, and he puts it in his fanny pack. You think it's like the fanny pack that goes around the waist, or like the armband fanny pack? Remember those?
Satchel like Alan in The Hangover?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, not at the table, Carlos.
I had a caller once that sounded a lot like this guy. He would call the radio station, and he wanted to talk to me about the Illuminati and all the conspiracies and what was really going on. At the time, it was the George W. Bush presidency, and Dick Cheney was quite prevalent in the news, and there was a lot of conspiracy things going on in popular culture in the early parts of the 2000s. And there's a lot of conspiracy theories around Dick Cheney. And this guy took those conspiracy theories and multiplied them by 100. And it was Dick Cheney and Halliburton. He's watching me. They've been controlling me since I worked for Mr. Cheney back in 78. Because he claimed that he worked for Halliburton or something. And when I worked for him, he was watching me. As if like he was on the floor or something. And he claimed that there was monitoring devices throughout his home, watching him and controlling every one of his movements. Again, this has been probably more than 10 years since I've had this phone call. But it was more than 10 years, obviously, if you look at the timeline. But it was classic. I did record it. I don't know if I have the audio anywhere anymore. But obviously, the individual had some mental health issues going on. I wasn't mean to him, but I did entertain his wanting to talk, and I let him do his talk. And then I said, thank you. Have a nice day. And he said, thank you for listening. So
that have to deal with people like that on a daily basis. Are you happier now that many of those phone calls are Rachel from Card Services and it's a recording, or do you kind of miss those unique individuals?
What I've done is I take on the character of the unique individuals when Rachel from Card Services calls me. I have this whole bank of these characters that originally had called me once that were real. And so now I just kind of take on their persona when somebody calls and says, I'm going to extend your car insurance. You're going to extend my car insurance? Oh my, I've been wanting this. I've been waiting for this call. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. I can't wait. Okay. What do we need to do? And then you just go into character and you just, you know, they're really surprised that you're so enthused about extending your car insurance. And then you get through the whole process and you tell them you don't have a car. After about 20 minutes of questioning, wait a minute. Are we talking about a car here? Well, no, I thought... I'm sorry. I thought we were talking about, I collect these RC cars. So that's not what we're talking about?
Well, car insurance? I thought you said card.
Yeah. You change it up.
Holidays.
Yeah. It's probably a horrible asshole thing to do because I wasted someone's time, but it gives you a good laugh.
Throughout this journey of life, as much as that would be fantastic content and you could display it on future episodes, I've been that guy. Not to that extent of telemarketing.
Yeah.
But I have, in this journey we call life, you got to make it. You have to legally, preferably legally, make an income.
Yeah.
And throughout times, you have opportunities to, they dress it up in titles like, customer satisfaction specialist.
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's a good one. Or inside business sales. Basically you're talking to members of the public and you are wanting them to spend more money with your company. So having been on that side of the phone as much as it would be a real gas to say, oh, I don't have a car, 17 minutes. And on my end, I would want to say, you know what? Fuck off. Have a great day.
Did you ever, how frequent is it that somebody fucks with people to that level? Like
not,
I would.
Not. And, that, okay. And I'm somewhat of a unique human in the fact that most of our, and both you and I, most of our careers, we've been on the creative character side of it. So once you have to be an actual person who does this day in, day out on a call center-ish type of job,
yeah,
you can almost prevent it before it begins.
Yeah,
if there's someone that wants to be the wise guy and, hey, I'm funny, you can outwit them before they even go there.
Sure.
Opposed to being, I'm not insinuating other people are gullible, but mm-hmm. again, we got paid to entertain others to ride that line of, I'm going to call the left side car window repair business, not right sides, just on the left sides. So you can already go there before they even think about it. So in my experience, not a lot, but that means jack for someone else who've not done radio.
Yeah. Yeah. I always wonder, like, am I the only one doing this? And I feel probably in the most part, I probably am. There's a handful, I'm sure, but it's probably not the norm. But sometimes I actually have had people at the end of the call on the other end thank me. They're like, you know, this job sucks and you let me laugh because it's been a really shitty day. And I know you're just screwing with me, but thank you for the laugh. I've had others get really upset because I wasted their time. Fuck you. You wasted my time. They hang up.
Fuck you.
Yeah. Usually it's not an American call center when they're swearing at you, because I think American call centers for the most part have some standards of like, you can and can't say this. But those ones, that's usually like the calls are like, hello, we'd like to do you take Viagra? Those are great. Then I usually like to answer with dad. This is a personal question, Dad. We talked about this the other day. No, I'm not your father. I'm like,
hold on. Let me put on some pants.
Yeah, exactly. You just kind of go down the road of wherever the character takes you. And that's what I do when I'm not making podcasts. And that right there is going to wrap up our program for today. If you like the show, give us a review there on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Follow me at Tony Bruschi on Instagram. What are you on Instagram?
Sean Reed on air.
All right. Sean Reed on air for Instagram on him. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening to Office Horror Stories.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts NatureScapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts NatureScapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts NatureScapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts NatureScapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts NatureScapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts NatureScapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts NatureScapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.